get there yet?
You'll need it too.
Right. That's right.
I don't know if they're up there or not. I can't tell. Oh, there's Randy. No, we don't need, do you think we need that? Do you need that? Is this on? This one here?
Test, test, test. Welcome.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, good. That was the last question.
Yeah.
Oh, we just need to know she needs that. But when I said, was there a lightning, she said, I don't think so. So I think she must have already been up here. Or maybe she was up there.
Testing, 1, 2, testing. So if I'm over here, does that work, Randy, in terms of space? Testing. Am I okay over here? Over here, testing, testing. But no further than this, perhaps? Can you hear him?
Sorry?
Can you hear him?
No. I can't hear him.
Are we all set with the
10 count?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Thank you.
Do you want a lecture?
No.
Do you want to pour the water into the... Sure. You just have to give me an ice.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Rick Ripley, a member of the worship team, and I welcome you to worship with the First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. In this Eastertide season, I greet you in the name of God, who, like the tide, changes us, surprises us, informs us, and draws us in. May our worship be Eastertidal and our community filled with spirit. I extended a particular welcome this day to all who are joining us virtually through our live-streamed or recorded worship. Though we worship in our separate places, we are joined together as one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, this community of faith greets you with a warm welcome. And also this morning, we welcome back Cindy Maybeck. We are pleased to welcome the Reverend Cindy Maybeck back to our pulpit today. Reverend Maybeck served as a pastor for over 25 years in central Massachusetts and is now a spiritual director and the founder of Spirit Story Ministry, bringing God's word to life and inspiring the church to move forward in faith with hope and joy. We look forward to hearing her bring the gospel alive for us today. And for at-home worshipers, following the announcements, we invite you to have a candle ready to light as your worship leaders light the Christ candle. Prayer requests, please send any prayer requests to via email at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or write your prayer requests or celebrations on a card that you'll find in the pew, or just give Cindy a wave and let her know that you have a prayer or celebration. And the prayer ground is open. Children of all ages are welcome to sit and play in the prayer ground. And I think that is it. Thank you.
Good morning. The reading from the Old Testament today is Psalm 111. Praise the living God. I will give thanks to the one God with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of God, contemplated by all who delight in them. Splendor and majesty are her work, and her righteousness stands forever. She has gained renown for her wonderful deeds. The womb of life is gracious and abounds in mother love. She provides fresh meat for those who revere her. She remembers her covenant perpetually. She has declared the strength of her works to her people, giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of her hands are truth and justice. Trustworthy are all her precepts. They stand fast forever and ever, executed in truth and uprightness. She sent redemption to her people. She has ordained her covenant forever. Holy and awesome is her name. Awe of the ageless God is the beginning of wisdom. All those who do have good understanding, her praise endures forever.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Sometimes the news we receive is so good, we have a hard time believing it. That's true. Too often, we are skeptical about positive happenings. We're like Jesus' disciple Thomas, who doubted the resurrection. Actually, we understand how he felt. It is hard to believe. That's just where faith comes in, believing where we have not seen. May God open our hearts and our spirits to receive with confidence the good news of Easter. Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 204. Please be seated. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Generous God, we thank you for your presence with us in all our lives. As we gather this morning, we are reminded of the many times we have doubted and feared. Today, banish our fears with the memory of the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remind us again that through all our troubles, doubts, and fears, your power, mercy, and love are with us. Amen.
Delighted to be with you this morning, and we have just a lovely joy in celebrating the sacrament of baptism. First Congregational Church is blessed indeed. You had a baptism last Sunday, you have a baptism this Sunday. We are just in the opportunity of opening our arms as a church and welcoming the children. So hear the promise of God to Sarah and Abraham. I will indeed bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. With the people of Israel, we give thanks to God for the coming of a child, a sign of God's blessing, a gift of hope. God creates all things. All life is a gift from God. For this we give thanks. We give special thanks for children who remind us powerfully and personally of the reality of God's creating and creative powers. Children are a sign of God's creation. They're also a sign of God's salvation. The trust of a child before all risk leads us in the way to God. The prophet Isaiah writes, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the little child shall lead them." Jesus came into our midst as a child, and we are to come to Jesus with the openness of children. Only then may we have the hope of entering the realm of God. And Jesus said, "Who is my mother, and who are my sisters, brothers, and siblings?" And stretching out his hand toward the disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings. For whoever does the will of God in heaven is my brother and sister and sibling and mother." And this service, this sacrament of baptism, offers thanks for God's creation in the hope of God's salvation, and we give thanks to our creating God for the gift of children. So at this time, I'd like to ask Kate and Justin and Chloe and Paige to come forward. Members of Christ's family, I present to you Paige Michelle Keir, her parents, Kate and Justin, her sister, Chloe, and I thank Rick for assisting me here on the chancel. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here today. Let's come over here in front of the candle. How's that? So please join me in a spirit of prayer. O God, like a mother who comforts her children, you strengthen us in our solitude, you sustain us and provide for us. We come before you with gratitude for the gift of Paige, for the joy which she has come into this family, and for the grace which you surround them and all of us. As a father cares for his children, so continually look on us with compassion and goodness. Pour out your spirit. Enable your servants to abound in love and establish our homes in holiness through Jesus Christ. And the children said, Amen. Amen. Let's try that again. And the children said, Amen. 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 Oh, you guys rocked it. So I have some questions. Paige, do you like coming to church and learning about Jesus? If so, say, I do. Yay. And you know, it's really important to have sisters, right? So Chloe, do you want to help take care of Paige as she learns more about Jesus? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Kate and Justin, in accepting Paige as a gift from God, do you also acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ and the responsibility that God places upon you? Do you acknowledge that Paige is a gift from the hand of our loving Creator? Do you accept the obligation which is yours to love and nurture her and to lead her to Christian faith by teaching and example? Do you acknowledge a need for the power of the Holy Spirit, the support of church and families and friends, so that you may be good stewards of this gift of life? If so, please say, I do. I have a question for everyone else. Would you please rise in body or spirit? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Do you covenant to nurture Paige and her parents in the Christian faith and the life and include them in your care? If so, say, we do.
We do.
I knew I could count on you. You may be seated. Thank you. We ask God's blessing on this water as we prepare for the sacrament of baptism. Hey, Paige, you want to come up on these steps with me? Good job. So I'm going to put water on your forehead. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Paige Michelle here. I now baptize you in the name of the God who created you, the Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will sustain you all of your life. Amen. Please join me in the welcome found in your bulletin. Paige, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, and freedom of love, and the hope of the new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Let us pray. Gracious God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, out of the treasures of your glory, strengthen us through your Spirit. Help us joyfully nurture Paige through your church, and bring her by grace from baptism, that Christ may dwell in her heart through faith. Give power to her and to us, that with all people we may grasp the breadth and length, the height and depth of Christ's love. Enable us to know this love, though it is beyond knowledge, and to be filled with your own fullness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That means you are blessed. My friends, I'd like to introduce to you Paige Michelle Keir. Hooray! And let us sing together. We've got a hymn to sing. And I want you to see this really great kid. Let's sing together. Thank you, Rick. What do you think? This is your church. How cool is that? Good on this way. Hi, Dave. You're the best. Think. Should we go see those people? Oh, do I have to give her back? I haven't been in a church that does baptism high fives. That was awesome, Paige. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Chloe. God bless you guys. Oh, now we get to high five each other. The peace of Christ be with you. And let us greet one another by sign or however you wish. Peace be with you.
Oh, thank you.
Our children may be dismissed to godly play at this time. Oh, my dear friends, how can we respond to the joy of baptism in our midst but to give thanks to God? And one of the many ways we give thanks to God is by offering our gifts and tithes, our offerings, and we do that with great joy because God gave God's Son, and with joy we give what we have. At this time, let us give and receive our morning offering. Let us pray. O God, we offer to you this day tokens of our lives and our substance. Take these lives and these gifts and cause them to work in the world which you have loaned us for the healing and reconciliation of all people to you. Amen. Lovely to be with First Congregational Church in Natick this morning. I'm feeling at home. I've been here a few times, and what a lovely opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of baptism. I would like to share with you the gospel by heart. This morning's text is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, and it goes like this. When it was evening on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked
for fear of the religious authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, who's called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I put my finger in the nails, the marks of the nails in his hand, and put my hand in his side and see the marks of those nails, I will not believe." About a week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out. Put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did all these more signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And here ends the telling of God's blessed word. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my friends, I wasn't here last Sunday, but I do notice some new banners that I don't think were here the last time I was here. And I am guessing that you had a rejoicing, glorious Easter Sunday. It was the kind of time when you might have done something like this. Christ is risen, risen indeed. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was just last week, right? We're still doing it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And the way the story went last week, according to the Gospel of John, is that early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She's going to grieve the death of Jesus. You know the story. He's not there. And so she talks to a gardener to find out where the body is. And that gardener is the resurrected Christ himself. And so Mary, after saying hi, so happy she saw him, she goes back and says to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And this text does not tell us what the disciples said to Mary. Oh, we don't know if the disciples doubted, if they were relieved to know Christ is resurrected, if they were confused, if they were afraid. Oh, actually, we do know they were afraid. You see, in those days, it wasn't just one who was crucified, but the Romans would execute many people all at once. It was a frightening time. And so the disciples were hidden in a safe house with the doors locked. They were afraid. And that's when the risen Christ, the evening of that same day, just appears, never mind the locked doors, appears in their midst and says, "Peace be with you." And I love that phrase, "peace be with you." I now have a new understanding of it, which is all of you, in some way, shape, or form, said "peace be with you" to Paige with a hand or even a high five or an elbow bump. I officiated a funeral last week, and I stood at the back of the chapel, and as people came out, I said to each and every one, "Peace be with you." And there were some who walked by, not seeing or hearing, so deep was their grief. There were some who looked through tear-stained faces and nodded. And there were some who paused to share a memory of the beloved one who had died and offer peace back. There's this beautiful phrase, "peace be with you." We say it every Sunday morning, and yet it's deeper than a greeting. It's the core of our community of faith, the depth of our belief. Peace be with you. It's like a baptism. This font, which is over 100 years old, so many have been baptized here, and surely as you watched Paige be baptized, surely you may have remembered others being baptized here. And there's a way that that peace goes through generations, through memory, and then through hope to those who will come in the future to this place of peace. Peace be with you. Maybe you felt it on a day that felt more like summer in April while you're in digging in the garden amidst yellow daffodils and a slight scent of hyacinth. Peace be with you. And then Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit. This is the Gospel John story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon the people. And we become church. There is a way that as Christ breathes upon us, we become a people forgiven and forgiving. Oh, my friends, the world needs this community of peace, of forgiveness, of faith. Indeed, we have seen the Lord, and so we say, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Hallelujah! Now what? Well, Thomas wasn't there. I mean, it wouldn't have been better, right, if they'd like made sure there was perfect attendance before Jesus shows up, but Thomas isn't there. And so the disciples come to him and they say, "We have seen the Lord," the exact phrase that Mary had said to the disciples earlier. "We have seen the Lord." And what does Thomas feel? Is he confused? Is he relieved? Does he doubt? Surely he's afraid. You know that kind of fear that you hide by saying, I need more evidence. But underneath it is a fear that what you want most is not true, or a fear that maybe others saw it and you won't. What if it's true for them, not for me? I'm not going to believe until I see those hands, until I touch that side. Is it not so? Would you believe without seeing? What would you say? What would you do? Would you believe just because someone tells you? What kind of proof do we need? There's a couple, this was years ago, and they heard that their son was missing and most likely killed in the latter years of the Vietnam War. And of course, the family was devastated. But the worst part of it was they had no body. They had a memorial service. No casket, no urn, no burial. Just this emptiness of tears. And a number of, and they had received the report. The report was that he had been shot down. And there were eyewitnesses who indicated that he had died by gunfire as he parachuted into enemy territory. There was no more information to be had. And so his family did what families do and tried to go on with their lives best as they were able with their grief. And then a few months later, there was a phone call. And it seemed that he had been found alive. And you would think that the family would be overjoyed, and they were, except for his mother. I don't believe it, she said. Unless I can put my finger on him and see him and touch my son, I will not believe. Because as painful as it was to lose him once, she could not bear to lose him twice. And so she refused to go to Logan Airport. His father and his elder brother went, and they greeted him and they welcomed him. Where's mom? He said. Oh, come with us. They came home. She was in her chair, the wingback chair in the corner of the living room where she had sat every night since she had heard of his death. And they came in and her son said, hey, mom. She got out of the chair and she ran to him. And when she embraced him and felt the body and life of her son in her arms, she believed in life again. She believed. Because she had seen. But my friends, blessed are we who have not seen and yet have believed. And blessed are we who have not had that beloved one walk through the door. And blessed are we who continue to hope in an eternal life beyond what we can see or hear or know or taste or touch. Blessed are we because that is all we have. And in those moments when the grief is too hard and we don't want to go any further, we come to this place. 100 years ago, we come to this place where others have prayed and remembered. We come to this place where we hear stories of Thomas and Mary and the others. We have these gifts of stories written in the Bible, and yet there were even more stories that were not written. And there's more stories in the lives in which you share. How many stories we have of that kind of moment when what you thought was lost is found, when somehow in the very bottom of your grief there was joy, when there is some kind of welcoming or healing or knowing or transformation, or that whoosh of the Holy Spirit's presence. And so whether you have seen and believed, or whether you have not seen and are just going to work on believing, I want to say to you today, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. 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 And amen. And so prayer is one of those places where we take those things not seen and lift them up that they may be seen by the community. Of course, those concerns are always seen by God, but there's something about speaking them in the setting of the church here in this sanctuary and on Zoom and online. There is something about a prayerful presence that strengthens our faith in believing. And so we have an opportunity to share our concerns and celebrations. And I'd like to, I have a few for you before I hear yours. This one is fun. I'd like to celebrate the ministry of the Reverend George Ann Bennett. I have this habit of putting on social media where it is that I'm going to be preaching, and I heard from George Ann, who said, oh, how I love the church that helped to form me in my ministry. Please give them my blessing. So we celebrate George Ann and the many who have come through this congregation and found a path to ordained ministry. I'd also ask your blessing on our confirmation class, who will be on pilgrimage this week on the Cape. So having been baptized, they're preparing for their confirmation, and it is a time of sharing and laughter and prayer and community building. God bless all the leaders and those youth who are involved in that pilgrimage this sacred week. I'd like to ask you to pray for Tim, who attempted to die by suicide this week. We are thankful that Tim is alive, and we pray that he receives the support and the love he needs to continue to heal. And I'd ask that we pray for all of those who are survivors of suicide and those who are in need of treatment for depression, and that the families, just all of that. I know this church has such a tender place for those who grieve. Other concerns or celebrations this morning? Yes. We celebrate those teenagers, high school students going to the Galapagos Islands to study Spanish and biology, and especially the two in our church. Thank you. Let's pray for them this week. That's so exciting. Yes. Oh, thank you. Pray for all of the runners in the marathon tomorrow and the spectators, and that all would be safe. And pray for those, who, especially who cheer them right here. Yes, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Please pray for Sarah, who is in a car accident, is in critical condition, and pray for her parents, and pray that God's healing would be upon her as she is in the hospital. Thank you. Yes? Praise God for Paige's larger family, and we praise God for community, for friends, for family. Thank you. Other concerns or celebrations this morning to share with the community and faith? Yes. Prayers for friend and neighbor Eleanor, who suffered a stroke and is doing rehab and has moved to another place, that she's doing well. So we pray for continued healing and that she can soon come home. Yes. Please pray for Gail, who has cancer and her chemo needed to be delayed because of COVID and all of those medical, prayers for all of that and for her healing and for those who are living with cancer and those who are caring for them. Thank you. Yes. Yes, Janine. Please pray for the search team every day, people, every day, so that they know that you are holding them up because God has a candidate for this church and they may not know who it is yet, but we are praying and holding the search team in prayer in this time of transition. Thank you. Any other joys or concerns? Yes, sorry. Thank you. Prayers for the Supreme Court, which is facing an important decision this week around women's reproductive rights, and prayers for all people who are disenfranchised. We have other concerns or celebrations this morning. Yes. Please pray for Patty, who is fighting cancer for the fourth time, that God's healing hand would be with her. Any other? Let us gather these prayers that are spoken on Zoom and online and that are here in your hearts, and let us lift them up to our God. Gracious God, we give you thanks for gathering us together this morning, and we give you thanks for all of these prayers spoken and those that are silent in our hearts. We give you thanks that we have the opportunity to share our own personal prayers here in the space of sacred love. And we thank you that your love weaves together with ours in such a way to lift up all who are in need. We give you thanks for kids. Thank you for all of the programs and ministries with children and youth here in this place, those who teach and those who lead and those who chaperone youth. We pray for our confirmation class. We pray for the kids traveling over break to the Galapagos Islands. We pray for those who are in need of healing, whether that is healing from cancer or healing from a car accident or healing from a close brush with death. We pray that you would be present to all who call on your name, and that you would nudge us in such a way that we might be a person to lean in and help those in need. We pray for judicial decisions in this nation, and we pray for a time of justice and righteousness and the kind of unconditional love that loves all, even those with whom we disagree. Show us how to be community, God. Show us how to live that kind of a life where Christ comes in our midst to say peace, and we feel that peace and certainty in our souls. Lord, we long to be the kind of people who stand for justice and are not afraid. But it's true that we fear, and sometimes we doubt, and sometimes we forget. So we give you thanks for church, because here we remember the hallelujah. Here we remember the songs. Here we remember the peace. And here is the place we come when we need to be forgiven and when we need to forgive others. Lord, bless us in these days. Let us be your hands and feet, your voice and your love as we serve others throughout this week. We pray together as Jesus taught, saying, Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let us sing with Eastertide joy, crown him with many crowns.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We could sing another verse. Hallelujah. My friends, go forth on this Eastertide believing in the risen Christ, in the love, in the faithfulness, and in that peace that passes all understanding. Go forth blessed and beloved. Amen.